This episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by Audible.com. With more than 100,000 downloadable titles, including periodicals, great books, and more, for a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/wow.
You are listening to The Instance.
Hi, this is Russell Brower from Blizzard Entertainment, and you're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance episode, 327. 327. That's right, you heard me. I heard, someone notified me via something here. I got to turn that off, sorry.
It's probably that they notified you said the Instance episode number wrong.
Yeah, probably. Hey, yeah, whoa, slow down, buddy. It is The Instance, and we are here for a Friday, June 7th, 2013. Dills is on the line. Dills, what's up?
What up?
What up, yo?
Dills, I'm just chilling, maxing, relaxing, all cool.
Polishing his cue, because he's coming to Nerdtacular in less than a month from now.
That's true. Oh, my God.
Work everybody.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude, I know. It's crazy,
that makes
right?
me nervous because we haven't heard back from the place yet.
The pool people? Oh, I'm sure it'll work out. Those guys
the
are
bar.
Just slow.
Yeah.
Well, you know how they are in bars. They're drinking.
Yeah, they're drunk.
Yeah,
so
they're into this private stash, and they're just slow. So it'll all work out. Yeah.
By the way, when you walk into a bar, know that everybody who works there is drunk.
Right.
Everybody. All the time.
All the time. 1 month from today will be the day after the event. It'll be the day everyone's sort of getting out of there, getting to their airports. It's the sad day a month from now.
Yeah,
so
it is. Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. Also with us, Terpster, all the way from beautiful, sunny Los Angeles, California. Hello, Terpster.
Hello. It's crazy.
Listen
I'm
to
in
you,
America.
Dude. Wow, freaking
I sound so much better in America.
You really do.
It's quite sad.
Look,
what is it about America that makes you so much better?
we have one Tom Merritt to be thankful for this opportunity, because Terpster's there for E3. Yeah, two Tom Merritts.
Be thankful for.
Do we?
To thank three Tom Merritts, just for, you know, just to make sure.
Sometimes you want to thank all the Tom Merritts, but yeah.
I only know the one. I only
so much time in the day.
You guys are more connected than me. I don't know any more Tom Merritts than just the
one. Oh, you only know one?
Yeah. That's the only one I know.
You know the accessible Tom Merritt.
Yeah.
There's some exclusive ones.
Right. They're a little tough to get with.
The more booze.
The other ones are kind of like Richard Branson. Like they're crazy.
The Richard Branson Tom Merritts. Great.
Yeah. Like they have space exploration plans and stuff like that. It's crazy.
Wonder
this Tom Merritt's got space exploration plans. They're just completely unrealistic. never liked it to happen.
That's fantastic.
It's good. Drove in Tom's Prius today, which is nice.
Yeah.
They let me have a go, which is great. The problem is that obviously I sat in the English driving seat, so I didn't actually have any controls.
I understand.
But I feel like I did well
because
I didn't actually drive it and so didn't crash it.
We talked about pre-show. You're pretty acclimated to the time. You're ready for whatever E3 is going to throw at you. You pretty excited about all that?
Should be good.
Yeah. We now know, do we know if Blizzard's going to attend?
I've heard rumors. Yeah. I've heard rumors and rumbles that we might be able to play some Hearthstone.
Mm.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And if not, then I've gone to a printer's and I've just printed out all the cards online. And I'm just going to play it anyway. So
you went to a printer's. See, here in the States, we would say we went to the printer. Is what we would.
I just went to a. I didn't want to say the because then everyone would think it was like Kinko's. Is that the one? What they called?
Yeah. Well, they used to be. Now they're FedEx Office, but yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Other printers are available.
Right. Yeah, but see, this is what, because you guys are all inclusive and kind of socialist here. We like to just go straight to the throat. Anyway, it's good. I'm glad you're here, and big, giant, huge thanks to Tom and his dogs and Eileen for letting you come and crash and be on this
one. And the dogs.
Tom and the dogs.
Oh, and Ben as well.
Coming to CBS this
fall.
Where is
Tom? What is he doing right now?
Yeah, what's he up to?
He's on a sofa next to me. Ben's there and the dogs are there. They're all just chilling.
Wow.
They're all just basking in this lovely experience, this shared experience.
I don't know why. I just feel like Tom never just chills. Like he's doing something right now.
It's something
in the back of his mind.
Trying to keep it down, else I get the hose again. Yeah. Yeah.
Tom never really has any downtime. And if you want to see Tom Merritt, if you're coming to Nerdtacular, you'll see him there as well. All three of us will be there.
Yeah.
It's all very exciting. Terpstra's literally going to fly here. He's going to fly. So he's here now. So he's literally going to fly back next week.
Back on the 17th.
Yeah. And then.
And I fly back again on the 2nd
crazy,
of July.
Crazy.
So I got 2 weeks. That's fine. That's plenty of time to get reacclimatized to the time to then have jet lag again. It's going to be great.
I just don't want you to be sick or like, you know, have like.
Oh, he will be after
will
all that.
Be sick, Scott. Yeah. I was like, oh, all those time zones I drank last night. I was sick everywhere because of the jet lags.
Well, you really got to keep your time zones to a moderate level.
Yeah, exactly. You can't mix your time zones. That's the problem. Yeah. That's where I always come and start.
Change time zones responsibly. They say that all the time.
Ah, fantastic. Well, do that very responsibly. Let's get on with the show. We got a lot to talk about. I wanted to mention real quick up top here, I have played a lot of Marvel Heroes. I did it for the team. I did it so I could tell you guys what this Diablo clone...
Is it horrible?
No. It's actually quite good.
Yeah?
There you go.
Isn't there some lineage there? I want to say the lead is an ex-Blizzard North guy and... You know, there's always an ex-Blizzard North guy working somewhere. Have you noticed that? There's always that going on somewhere. But it's pretty good. I have a couple of issues with it. I think the free-to-play model's okay. The only things you really pay for are stash inventory, if you want, and characters, new characters. But the way it handles new characters isn't great because you just, if you buy a new character and you spend $20 on Iron Man, for example, which he's way overpriced.
What the hell? Just because there's a movie?
I know. It's stupid. He used to be this B-tier character, and nobody... Yeah, it's just... It's totally playing on the current popularity. But I bought the Punisher because, A, he was cheap, and, B, he's a badass. And
he's super badass.
Yeah, he's great, and he's got guns, and I like ranged, and he was the closest I could find to a thing I would like to play. Plus, I like him as a character. And the game is good at that, like saying, all right, if you've got fan love for the thing, or you really like Hawkeye, or you really like whoever, you can get your groove on with the character you like the most, and it is that character. A couple of problems, though. Loot doesn't change. You get great loot and great specs and all the stuff you want. The loot grind that you want in Diablo is here, and it's plentiful, and it's awesome. There's always upgrades, but you don't see any difference. It's just the same dude. You can buy costumes. You can buy costumes and stuff to change things around, but there's no visual change upgrade to you, which is weird.
It's the sort of thing City of Heroes had as well. You make it, and you look amazing. And then from there on out, you're just augmenting abilities and powers and stuff like that. And it's not as cool. Do you level up through Marvel Heroes?
Yeah, you do.
Can you unlock like a Unibeam and stuff like
that? Yeah. So the whole time you're spent trying to... I mean, it really is the Diablo path. So you'll be told to do a quest and you'll go to this area. And there's a big randomly generated zone to get through. And there's random encounters in that zone. And then when you get to like... a cave hole, you load into that cave hole, and now you're in this place where, I don't know, Hydra is in there, and that you need to steal some documents or kill a boss or take out, Venom or something. And it plays like Diablo in that way. One thing I do like about it is they've taken the kind of destructible environment stuff in Diablo 3 and really run with it. Everything explodes. It's just...
Everything, you can just kill everything.
No,
Well, now, how does it work with the model of a superhero, though, because with Diablo, like, you're just everybody's kind of one speed, they walk around. Mm-hmm. You got characters who fly and all that kind of stuff. Like,
so they're okay, that's a great,
like, it works.
That's a great question. It sort of does, but the way it works is everybody's got a form of mana. Some call it spirit. I think mine's called something else, but what's it called?
Justice.
It's that kind of stuff.
Rage or justice, or yeah.
But it's a pool of limited. It's mana, and so you have these abilities like short flight that you can do because it's short because you only have so much mana. Or I've got this thing where I can unleash just a million bullets a second and do kind of an AOE attack that is again mana based. So they all those things are a little bit restricted that way. But like the Hulk can do this huge leap forward and just blows crap up, and it's awesome looking. Yeah. But again, he's limited by the amount of rage.
Well, we all know. Yeah, the Hulk can only jump in short spurts, right?
Right.
It's clear from the comic books that he doesn't just travel across the entire Earth by jumping really far whenever he feels like it.
Yeah, and his armor is like, his chest armor is like something like, I can't even remember what you called it. It's like rage or something dumb. It's not even an item to wear. It's just this thing you put in that slot. Whereas like the Punisher, I put on another black T-shirt with a skull on it.
Oh, nice.
Uh-huh. And that's my armor. And he has a lot of blue, purple pants for the Hulk and things like that.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, with the Hulk, like, how are you getting items that drop and then you pick them up?
It's weird.
All right.
You just get a variety of increasingly pointy clothing options. Right. They just make him really angry. It's like, oh, Hulk does not like this wristwatch. It digs in too much. That. And that just makes him angry.
It'd actually be funny if you could armor the Hulk, you know, like give him some shoes, a hat, and all that kind
of thing. In World War Hulk, he wore like a gladiator's outfit. He looks amazing.
Oh, that's a weird comic. But anyway, the point is, it's pretty good. It's got that whole, the grind feels good, the loot machine feels good, the leveling up feels good, the skills are cool, you feel powerful, all the stuff you want from a game like this. They've got all that stuff down. The biggest overarching problem I have with the game is that there is really no uniqueness to your dude, because there's no gear differentiation. So what you end up with is you are now, and since you're being actual heroes, not like DCUO where you're like, nobody's ever going to be Superman, but you can be Superman-like, or you can be Batman-like or whatever, and have augmentations from gear in that game. That game's pretty smart that way. But in this particular case, if you're out in the middle of a world event, because there's plenty of like MMO-style, Venom's on the loose in the city, lets as many of us out here. They're like rifts and rift.
So can you have like 100 Iron Men on screen?
Yes, that's my problem. That's exactly it.
Okay, and then you're wondering which Iron dude is mine.
That's a pain, and there's like 50 Hulks and 12 things and you know, everyone fighting at once. And the worst part of that is it really shows off the free characters the most, because that's what people are trying first. So it's mostly Hawkeye. It's mostly, what's the witch name? Whatever witch. Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch, yeah.
It's mostly these core four or five characters you get to choose from, these archetypes. And there are way too many purple uniform wearing Hawkeyes out there fighting. It's just ridiculous looking.
It's so weird in a world where Hawkeye's popular.
Yeah, it is. You know what though? Yeah. We were just talking about this last night. His new run on Marvel, the Hawkeye books, which just, I don't know, started issue one like 3-4 months ago. Really good. Holy crap, it's good. Really good read.
I mean, Jeremy Renner's going to make him popular.
He did. But the great thing about the comic is they don't take any cues from the movie. It's totally
good.
Just raw ass. You know, new story and stuff. It's really good.
How many arrows does he carry with him?
Unlimited.
the SNL sketch. Yeah. I only brought 5 arrows. Sorry, guys.
In this particular case, he is an unending source of arrows, like I am of bullets.
His actual superpower.
Yeah.
He got really good at shooting arrows because he can make arrows.
Yeah.
So it's just he's a like a hunter in Warcraft thing.
Yeah, he's like it is kind of now. Yeah.
He just never runs out of arrows.
Doesn't have to run over to the Scryers and buy arrows anymore. Just has them.
Or maybe like Tony could make him a magic quiver out of some Iron Man armor. That'd be amazing.
Let's not talk about Tony's magic quiver. Anyway. So it's cool, and I think it's all right. And I know a lot of folks in our guild have tried it out, and I just think it's an interesting alternative direction for people who want this kind of gameplay but don't want to buy Diablo or don't want to spend the money or still have whatever. Like, I feel like whatever spiritual problems people had with real money auction houses and on all the time connections, you have this same those same problems here, except they don't have the real money auction house. But you have that same problem, plus you add to that the kind of sense of nickel and dimey kind of free-to-play thing going on. So I don't know what is the better trade. I'm not about to trade Diablo in for this, but I think it's a pretty good game and people should probably check it out. And it's free, so what the hell?
There we go.
All right, I got to mention a quick screw up and then we'll keep moving here. During the week, I got real excited because got with a contact at Blizzard. They said, hey, we got a bunch of Horde and Alliance. And he said Avatar, but I didn't hear it. Avatar shirts to sell or to get rid to move. Yeah, well, I know this now, but at the time, I was also in the middle of working with someone else at Blizzard on getting actual t-shirts from Blizzard at Nerdtacular to give away, right? Like I did last year. So in my head, I had it in my head that like, oh, well, there's another avenue for them to get rid of some of their older shirts. And I got so excited, dude. And I ran a contest and all you guys follow me on Twitter, you signed up. 1,000-something+ of you signed up to win free t-shirts. And I'm like, yeah, there's male Horde and there's female Alliance and there's all this stuff. And the whole time I'm thinking flesh and blood on your back t-shirt. I get to the end of all this and go, oh, wait, these are Xbox Avatar shirts, all of them. So for those who signed up for that, I apologize. Pretty cool, I'm a big dummy. I totally screwed that up. And we're still going to have a ton of these to give away. And I'll give them away to people that signed up, whether you have an Xbox.
And if anything, it's almost now more relevant because they've announced the street date for Diablo 3 on Xbox 360.
Right, exactly.
So now you can play the game while representing your favorite faction.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, I apologize for my stupidity, but you can kind of see why I screwed up. I mean, it's not that weird that I goofed that up. All right. They don't let you play WoW on the plane, Terpster? How come?
Well, no, I was just saying, like, so on the plane, it was really a kind of swanky plane, and there was amazing food. It was incredible. But the games, like, they were like, new Pac-Man. And it was like, they were like, Pac-Man was apparently
not
like,
even Miss Pac-Man?
No, exactly. Hell? It was just Pac-Man. And then, like, the other kind of top-rated game they had was Street Fighter 2. Now, I get that there's a lot of people
wow.
on a plane
well, that's a great
to,
game, though.
To have all these different instances of games running and streaming and all that must be tricky.
Yeah.
But, like, come on. Where are we on like, aviation gaming? This is ridiculous. You know, I'm on a plane for 10, 11 hours. I'd like something a bit more substantial to play a game with.
Well, the old days it was Tetris and that's all you got, so I don't know.
Well,
I feel like
and
making,
we were happy with it too.
Yeah.
But I just kind of feel like, you know, that we should be able to do it better, surely. Yeah.
All right.
There should be a better way of doing it. And equally, you know, I ended up playing some stuff on my MacBook Air, but it's not very good.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm just a little bit frustrated.
Say again? Take advantage of this. There's a need out there
yeah.
for I better so. Games on airplanes.
Exactly. I think I might start a charity. And I'd stop people giving to worthy ones and instead divert that into my charity, which
sure.
is going to try and take the aviation authority to high courts
yeah.
about how much they have dropped the ball on
Terpster
games.
Won't be, yeah. He won't be happy until he's playing like Alan Wake on an airplane.
Exactly. No, I want to play, yeah, like that or like...
I want to be playing The Last of Us right now. I
yeah,
want to,
like Ace Combat or something like that, like shooting down other planes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be quite fun. Yeah. I watched, they had the whole Die Hard series on there. So I was like, oh, yeah, there's no way I'm not going to watch them back to back. This is going to be incredible. No, Die Hard 2. As if the whole thing of like, I can't watch a thing about planes being crashed.
Well,
you know,
Die Hard 2 doesn't even make sense without Die Hard 2.
The thing is by the omission of it, all it did is made me think about it more. And I was thinking, sure. like, well, hang on, why can't they? Maybe is there a problem with this plane? Is that why have they taken it off specifically? Is there something wrong? Are we going to be circling above an airport for hours on end while then we come into land, but the computer thinks the ground is lower than it is? You know,
it's probably the naked karate scene where he's
well, not even that because there was some beautiful nudity in Die Hard 1 they preserved,
yeah.
But then Die Hard with a Vengeance they managed to have the clean version or like the safer for travel version.
Yeah.
Yay.
This sandwich board on at the beginning.
Mother trucker, right. So hold on, T. You just said lovely nudity in the first one. You're
yes.
talking about that brief moment where that lady runs through the hall.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Exactly. No, I paused it. It's fine. It lasted as long as I needed to. But he wore a sign, a sandwich board in Harlem. And the big thing is it's got offensive racist language on it. And all it said on there was, I hate everybody, and then they dub it as well. So then Mike Samuel Jackson like goes to Bruce Willis like, you're here in Harlem with a sign saying I hate people, and that was literally and again it just kept taking me out of the experience just because I was like, this is not right.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, if you take your thumb out your nose,
yeah, yeah,
get on with this. I was like, thumb out your I've never, is that a thing?
Yeah, keep your thumb in your nose,
thumb up our noses.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their thumb up their nose. Come on.
I've actually seen a version of Pulp Fiction that was edited for television, and it is the most ridiculous experience I think I may have ever had.
I think there should be like box sets you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that's a real kind of community thing. You should watch films you love in a television edit and just bask in that shared sense of WTF.
Yeah, I'm in. Really. I'm in.
You know what's really bad though on a plane is when you like, so I download a bunch of movies to my iPad usually, and when you watch a movie like I think last time I was on a plane I was watching Hall Pass.
Oh yeah.
And if you see it, it's a terrible movie, but yeah, if you've seen it, there's a scene with a gratuitous male dong. and basically I'm watching on my iPad, I'm sitting there and I'm hanging out, and then suddenly dong on the screen.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's not even turned towards me, it's just out there,
just there.
And I'm just realizing, and I'm on the aisle seat, I'm realizing like five rows back are all probably looking at me and going,
the flight attendant's okay. Like would you like any drinks dong?
Yeah.
No, it's
Sir, can we get you to put away the gratuitous male nudity, please?
Mr. Dills. I like that you'd call him Mr. Dills. Yeah, don't take.
Well, they all know I'm Dills when I get on the
don't
plane.
Don't take Hall Pass on a plane is what we've learned from that
just
little experience.
Don't even just watch that movie, period.
Yeah, it's not good. So you're still doing a lot of PvP. How's that going?
Well, I'm trying to dip my toes back in because apparently my lack of PvP gear is not going to hurt me right now.
Not so much, right.
But unfortunately, my lack of PvP skills is hurting me quite a bit right now. Mm. I guess it's just, you know, you step away for a moment and then you just kind of need a little time to get reacclimated to the way things are now. But I tried out that new Deepwind Gorge thing. To me, just we talked about on this show that, you know, maybe like a deathmatch type battleground would be fun.
Yeah,
Blizzard needs to do something different because I'm sick of trying to hold bases and access points and gather resources. And I don't know. It's just, to me, we need more stuff. I mean, Alterac Valley was so cool and there was so much to do. And since then, we've just done the same thing over and over again. So
not a lot of variety right now in Battlegrounds.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed, but I'm still having fun. And I really want to kind of get ready because I want to actually hit a patch where I'm like on it when the patch hits, and I keep on missing my window.
Mm.
So I'm going to try to like stick it out this patch, and then when 5.4 comes, like I could actually be on the cusp and start where I'm supposed to.
God,
so
this reminds me of something. I got a anonymous email from a listener, I assume, who has been spying on my armory account. Okay, when this happens, it always creeps me out just a little bit. People are looking at your dudes on the armory, right? So he sends me this thing. He says, I noticed in the armory you are acquiring many pet battle achievements. This is not helping your raid team. And that's it. That's the whole email.
Wow. I'm going to guess it's someone on your raid team.
Not hurting your raid team either.
Well, I looked. I thought that at first. I thought it was like a joke, like it was Poot or somebody being funny. And it wasn't. I don't know who it was. But that's a weird mentality. I just want to just throw that out there. This weird thing that everybody... It's like this Nazi way of looking at a video game. Somebody looks at their armory thing, got nothing to do with you, no personal relationship at all, but feels that it is his job to get with you and tell you that the work you're doing with those pet battles, that's not in line with what the great leader wants us to do. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. That's true.
That's the feeling I got from that, and I could not delete that email quick enough. Beep, delete.
He's watching you. He's watching you. He wants to make sure that you're out there running your... You know, doing your dailies and
yeah, I guess. Scenarios. But you know what? I'm a little tired of doing my dailies, so I'm doing pet battles because WoW gives me another thing to do when I'm tired of other things. So
that's very true.
That's how I'm playing this game.
You just need to get new characters and new character names, Scott. You can be invisible again.
All right, I'm in it. I'm on. GURP is GURP's hanging out there like a dong in Hall Pass.
Did you read the entire back and forth on the forums about this? I think MMO Champion posted this recently.
Well, about which?
That was just, I don't want to run my dailies. And they were like, you don't have to. Yeah. It's like, but I do have to. And it's like, no, you don't.
No.
And the real truth is, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You do not have to do anything you don't want to do
yeah.
in this game.
You don't even have to play this game if you don't want to play.
Don't let anybody tell you different. This is the beauty of WoW, is that you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
And if
you're having fun, it's fine.
Yeah. And it doesn't, here's the other thing. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Just play your game the way you're going to play it. And don't go, I don't understand why people are doing it my way. Tough shit. If you feel that way, people are going to get to do what they want to get to do. And I don't want to call this guy out
too bad. Well, if you're
trying
to race the world first, you maybe have to do some stuff.
Oh, the award-winning, Oscar-winning, BAFTA-winning Race to World First. Yeah. Sorry, the three of us. Terpster was in there, right? Yeah. Okay, let's...
Terpster has actually, I think, the best line about
it. He does. You're absolutely right. Yep. That's all changed.
I actually get to say Race to World First. And that's why they named the movie after it.
Right.
So I looked to camera. The problem is it was just audio, so you can't tell that.
But it was fine. You could tell.
Race to World First.
Yeah, and they went, oh, he's done it. That's going to save us months.
A little cheesy grin at the end of it, but they didn't, again, you know, audio.
Going to save us
still,
months.
Still, we can
of
hear
time.
It, Terpster. We can hear it.
Absolutely.
I think so.
I know when you're smiling when you talk. I can hear it.
All right. Well, let's get to the big news.
Big news. Of the week.
Big news.
Big news brought to you by TypeFrag.com. Get the best Ventrilo service on this earth at TypeFrag.com. Terpster, you're in LA for E3, but you've not seen anything yet, right? Like, there's no...
Nothing I can report on.
Okay. But have you had some private meetings? Have you seen some things that are cool? Can you say that at least?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can say that. I can say yes. In fact, actually, I'm not even sure if I can say that. I'll be honest with you, Scott. I'm not sure. I've signed a document. I think I can't even say that.
Really? Wow.
So
okay, we can say you're in LA. You're there for E3. Done.
I'm here, and I'm excited for unknown things.
All right.
You signed an NDA that says, "Do not tell anybody that you signed this NDA."
Yeah, basically.
Exactly.
I'm sure.
But just in generic terms, I think there's some really cool stuff coming.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Across the board. I'd like the broad stroke you just
there
took.
Is. Yeah, exactly. A legally ambiguous. Platform agnostic thing.
That's pretty good.
But yeah, it's going to be really cool.
All right, you're going to we'll hear more about what you could see or see or
so
talk
yeah
about
next
later.
Next week yeah. I'll tell you about what I've seen.
Fantastic. Let's talk about the rumors for the big announced feature coming in 5.4. There was a rumor floating around over the last couple of days that the feature had actually been killed. According to a reader, they wrote this. They said, "I just read on MMO Champion that the unannounced feature for patch 5.4 is essentially knifed in the belly," kind of Titan style, I suppose. As I'm reading the tweets, GC suggests that he wished, meaning Ghostcrawler, that he wished he never said anything about it, or any features for that matter, starting that when he announces a new feature or functionality within the game and it doesn't pan out or arrive on time, the community gets upset. So Blizzard responded
That's
with a bunch
load
of stuff.
Rubbish,
it is a load of rubbish. It absolutely.
The
is.
Titans, I mean, you know, Dance Studio, I mean, like Aerial Combat.
Aerial Combat, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Like, no, but that is, I mean, it is true. The thing is like we do get a little bit excitable. That's
because well, it's a thing we hear about and it sounds good and we know Blizzard says it's good and we think StarCraft Ghost looks like it. That would be hella fun to play on a GameCube or an Xbox One or a, oh, sorry, yeah. Xbox Original or however the hell we're going to call it now. But whatever, PlayStation 2.
X-Bones.
Back in the day, it was like, yeah, man, look at this, StarCraft Ghost. She's awesome. And this CGI movie at E3 2005 proves that we are going to have this game. And then they pulled the plug anyway. I guess what I'm saying is if any of you are really Blizzard fans, none of you should ever be surprised when Blizzard pulls a plug on something. You may be disappointed, but don't be surprised. Because they have shown time and time again, probably to their strength, that they are willing to chuck something if it's not working. So this case turns out to maybe be not true anyway. These rumors were all kind of not, you know, they didn't have much, didn't hold much water. Like here is an exchange on Twitter between Greg Street and other people. He says to somebody called MadCloud22, because I think we should pretend the unannounced feature was canceled. It took on a life of its own, and it can never live up to the hype. The response to that was, "That makes it sound like it's being pulled, frowny face." And then Greg said, "I considered saying that, but it's not true. I just don't want 5.4 discussion to be dominated by that one issue. It's a great patch." Then he says, "I'm doing a trank shot on all unannounced feature rumor speculation. 5.4 has many exciting features. Just pick your favorite and call it good." That's Greg
Street. Hunter talk!
Yeah. Yeah, how you like that? A little Hunter reference there. That's pretty good. Yeah.
By the way, somebody, we get more complaints about the lack of Hunter talk.
Than people complaining about than, like, talking about Hunters.
Where is it? Yeah. I haven't heard an arrow shot.
I don't know where it is.
Scott's like, it's not on my soundboard.
I don't think I have it anymore.
Just lost it?
I kind of think it's not here. I've filled it up with like Tom.
Horde side.
And these other guys.
Horde side.
Horde side.
Horde side. What we need is more horde sides.
Look how many horde sides I have.
Yes, so many.
I know. It's
so many horde
kind
sides,
of a problem,
guys.
To be
just
honest.
So many.
See, I misread his tweet when he first did it, and I thought Trank Shot was the unannounced feature.
Oh.
And I was being like, everyone's getting Trank Shot, and they're going to bring back Enrage as a mechanic that it's like, someone Trank Shot.
Trank you know. Shot for all.
That'd be good.
We'll get ghetto Trank Shot from a priest or something.
Now,
yeah.
So I'm sorry. Did I miss this unannounced feature?
Yeah.
They didn't say like what it was, right? So
well, we think it's the flexible raid.
Yeah,
you think so?
Yeah, that's what everyone thinks.
That's announced, isn't it?
But it's been announced now, and that's the thing. But it was previously unannounced.
So if Greg's new policy was we're not going to talk about these things as we're going to just let them come out as they come out. Well, then this makes sense because this just sort of came out. Like this isn't them going, all right, that big unannounced feature is this thing. They don't want to do that. Anymore or at all. So 5.4, flexible raid preview. 5.4 will add this new raid difficulty. So this is interesting and probably is the feature they've been talking about.
So that
means
that it is happening then, because now it's announced.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah. Well, and Greg had,
I think more so the issue was is because they said ambiguously something's coming, people like me were like, Dota Battlegrounds. Mm-hmm. And then like it's like, oh, flexible raid groups, which is cool, mm-hmm. but you know, it depends what you were expecting. And I think the unannounced nature of it, and teasing that something big is on the horizon conjures up big for different people.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem is, yeah, you can't say like, oh, by the way, everyone's going to get a surprise, and then everyone's going to think it's the thing that they want. And
yeah.
You just, yeah, you screw yourself.
It's an internal thing. It's an internal thing. They're going to have to figure out a way to put a clamp on that so that somebody doesn't just randomly say in a forum post or a tweet by accident or just because they're happy about this new feature. Because there could be some totally mechanical, non-exciting thing that a dev is totally stoked for. And all he has to say is, oh, man, this thing we haven't even told you about. I can't wait for you to see this. And that's enough to set the internet on fire and have them all, you know, speculate to death and then have Greg have to come out and get kind of ticked and trank everybody. So
I think the lesson learned here is that life will always disappoint you, everybody.
Yeah, there you go. what did Homer say?
It's like everyone's dad. Homer? Just, you know, just teach everyone. Just, you know, keep it cool.
Homer said once, he said, Homer Simpson, not Homer, the great philosopher. He said, if at first you don't succeed, never try again. That's what he said. Yep. So there you go.
Good.
So let's talk about this. You can bring anywhere from 10 to 25 people to your raid, and the difficulty will automatically scale. So to give you some perspective on that, you want to run some 25-man content. There are only 14 of you. You'll bring them in there, and kind of Diablo style, except in reverse, you will have less difficulty because you've only got 14, 15 people.
It adjusts to the number of players.
Right.
And I think the next evolution of this needs to be the skill of the players, basically what it means is that you will always complete the raid, but you might find it, you know, more challenging, or you know, it's tricky because this is more and more important in terms of like AFK and stuff like that. It kind of brings back that as an important element, though I guess actually in all fairness it is on a 10 or 25 anyway, but this is perfect for people like me, who are in mid-sized guilds where you might be able to get like 15 people, but that isn't enough to run two groups. And so what often would happen is you'd have 10 people run it, five sit out and swap in and out for different bosses, depending on what loot's needed. And it segregated that play experience. And then what would happen is the 10 that play together would be like, well, no, we'll carry on playing because we know it. We don't want to let the other five in now, swap this out, because then we've got to, you know, relearn the boss for all of those people. Mm-hmm. And this is a great change to allow that kind of level of flexibility and keep the community playing together, which is what you want.
The speculation on the players' part since this was first talked about has been pretty skeptical. I think that's just natural to some degree. We're going to have a percentage of people that don't trust any of these things until they're implemented. But anytime you start messing with raid functionality and difficulty stuff, I think there's a certain portion of the player base that gets really nervous because to them this means another example in their mind anyway of Blizzard pushing the game to the casual players away from the hardcore players.
Yeah, but you know what? It has nothing to do with the hardcore players, though. Like, again, to me, this is like, if LFR bothers you, like, don't do it. You still have your heroic raids. You still have all that stuff. And all this really does is it means that if I'm in a guild, like Terpster says, or I've been in plenty of raids where we're supposed to run 25-man that night, mm-hmm. and we're at 21, and we're screwed because we want to do stuff. All those 21 people want to do stuff.
Yeah.
We're all there to play the game together. And now we can't because these four douchebags, Carl, don't
douchebag
show up.
Carl, that's right.
Yeah.
Rearing
they
his
didn't
head
show
again.
Up. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, we're texting them. We're trying to figure out what they're doing. Something about a wife, children. I don't know. And
Lives
they don't show
and
up.
Yeah. And the two murderers of raids.
Now we can't play. And so in this scenario, with this, where this flexi raid exists, now we can go, okay, well, screw it. We can't do our regular thing. Let's just do Flexi Raid tonight. Mm-hmm. And that seems to me to be a good solution to this problem.
I like it better than the current solution, which you alluded to, which is, all right, we've only got eight of us, even for a 10-man, and go, oh, we've only got 8 dudes, or let's in this scenario say, oh, we've only got 14 people. We don't have the 25. Let's just go queue for LFR. And then we got to wait, and it's hard because we're half the raid's
pre-made.
Yeah, and
then you're with a bunch of other guys.
Then you're with guys you don't know, and they don't like you, or for whatever reason they came in there thinking everyone's a jerk, and so it's just a big fight. And
equally, LFR is a lower difficulty tier. Yeah. This sits between LFR and normal.
Has it been confirmed that the gear, the drops and things are going
drops
to be a new
and
tier?
Difficulty should be, I think, between the two.
Not
yeah.
a new tier.
What's going to happen, what's going to happen here is this is going to be, this is just how it happens with everything that Blizzard puts out. This is going to be something that, because it doesn't share a lockout, that some of the higher raid teams are going to do this with, 24 people or whatever, just to get that extra gear, because it'll be like in between. So they won't have to do LFR anymore. They might be stoked about that. Yeah. Now I don't have to play with the masses. We can still get together with our other skilled players and do this thing.
Yeah, so having you not get locked out of the other two types is a big deal, I think.
Interestingly enough, though, they said that the loot's awarded with the Raid Finder loot system. And so it doesn't look like, you can't pass on loot and, drop stuff.
But that's
fine,
though.
Doesn't really matter too much. But this is only open to groups you form yourself.
Right.
As long as you've got battle tags, you can do it cross realm. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, you can't, fill it with randoms. So,
which is weird because not that you guys both agreed and I think I agree, it doesn't really that matter that much. In fact, I kind of like that I'm just getting stuff I need when I get it in LFR. It's nice. I don't have to deal with, people and roles and all this stuff. But when you're with your friends, that is a piece of the traditional raid experience where dude in charge makes some decisions and or everyone's rolling and making decisions about who needs what more than the other guy, and like, oh shoot, I shouldn't have needed on that, come here, I'll give it to you, like that stuff is I don't think crucial to the experience, but it is part of it, and so if you're there with friends and that's what you do normally, and the only difference between Bill didn't show up for 25, so now we're only running 24, and now that changes, like that's a weird, it's a weird thing for me to think about, that that's the only time that that would switch over.
Yeah, but maybe, more points of difference kind of warrants the feature being there. Mm-hmm. So who knows?
I mean, I don't think this takes away from anyone's experience. And, it's like there's somebody in the chat room trying to argue that more tiers takes away from your experience. And to me, it's like nothing that someone else is doing takes away from your experience unless you let it take away from your experience by being upset about it. Just don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Do the thing that you're doing and be fine with it.
Yeah.
There's people that will find this very valuable, and that, to me, is why Blizzard would put it in the game, because some people are going to find this valuable. If you don't find it valuable, don't do it.
Yeah.
That's all that you really have to
say. And it seems like Blizzard is constantly interested in figuring out ways to get endgame in the hands of more people and keeping those in it where their circumstances change. They have a kid now. They're married now. They're whatever thing has dinged their time that they no longer have that they had 8 years ago. Give them easier ways to still enjoy the game they love and have, and get in there and play. And that maybe goes to the argument of, well, now you're just pandering to casual players. But not really, because you hardcore still have your way to play. That didn't change. No one took it away from you.
Well, before we talk about what else they won't take away from you, let me tell you something I will not take away from you. An opportunity for you to pick up a great free audiobook from audible.com. It's actually at this easy website to follow, audiblepodcast.com/wow. See how easy that is? Wow at the end? Simple. audiblepodcast.com/wow, where you can pick up great books like, for example, Dawn of Prophecy, Book 1, The Belgiard. I don't know if I ever say that right, but I love David Eddings, who wrote this book. It's a 10-hour book, completely unabridged, narrated by Cameron Bellier. It's really quite good. Here's a little sample. It's just a little taste
down
of it.
In the mountains, in anguish, he cracked open the earth. In agony, he let in the sea. His left hand flared and burned to ashes. The flesh on the left side of his face melted like wax.
Whoa, wax face. Not good. Big, big fan of David Eddings' books. When I was growing up, I listened to his books or read his books the old way, reading them, on a piece of paper. Now I got no time. I got to jog. I got to run. I got to drive somewhere. I got to do this stuff. So why not put it in my ears? And I said Dawn of Prophecy. Sorry, Pawn of Prophecy. Fantastic book. David Eddings, oh man, fantasy writer extraordinaire. Been around forever, been doing this stuff for who knows how long. And I love his books. So go check it out. You can get that or any other audible book you want to pick your hands or get your hands on and your ears in or in your ears, however you want to say it. You can get it for absolutely free, that or any other book, again, by going to audiblepodcast.com/wow. Do it today.
No, they didn't take away the heroic raid. They just added something else for other people.
Yeah, but so. Even if you're a total, even if you're like a 25 man full of dicks and it's a Friday night and two of you didn't show up, instead of rage quitting and hating everybody and having a forum flame out, go ahead and run it anyway.
Yeah, run it and have fun. To me, like that, I guess that's the difference in mentality because, you know, the 25 man group I used to run with, we would have loved this because all we really want to do is hang out with each other. And maybe get some loot on the way and have a good time. And this would have allowed us to do that. So, you know, that to me is a win for everybody, for the 21 people who showed up. We would have still had a great night. I've had plenty of nights where we tried to still run 25 man with 21 people, couldn't get past like some certain boss. And then it was kind of sad. It was like disappointing. Like, oh, man. So I guess I'm going to go play my console now.
Yeah.
See you guys later.
Yeah,
like, we'll play, you know, Halo. Everyone's all down instead of having had a fun night.
And imagine this. So here's an idea. So let's say Terpster's got they've got a 10 man that's usually full, but sometimes not. Sometimes it's okay, but whatever. And then we've got Sin where, in the summer it's hard. So sometimes we have less people or whatever. It might be an excuse to say, take a couple of good teams that get along with each other well, combine them, aim for 25, but play when you can, you know?
And then it'll be 18-man difficulty, you know?
Yeah.
And there you go.
I like that idea a lot. So for me, this works.
If we can raid with the T, oh, dude, let's do this.
Oh, exactly. Imagine and then think about that. It, like, going forward and stuff, maybe that they can add a heroic version. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be like, we want it tuned around 18, but we want the heroic tuning of 18.
The heroic 18.
Versus, than the normal. And I think those sorts of things will come as well, depending on how much the features used. Because obviously all of these, you know, little tweaks and stuff, I imagine some of it can be automated, but equally they're going to have to go in there and test and see, is this doable with 18? Is that a fair kind of balance? And so it all takes up dev time. And so it's only ever going to be worth it if enough people are using that feature. I've got hope for this. I think it's a good thing.
Yep, I do too.
It's going to make a difference to how I play.
Agreed. Yeah. Also in the news, new desktop launcher for Battle.net is coming soon, ready for launch almost for PC, OS 10 coming in a little bit later. I have a theory about this, all right? Desktop launcher for Battle.net, that means all your Battle.net stuff managed from a desktop client. This is clearly not a Steam competitor per se, but it is an answer to people's, if they enjoy Steam as a launcher and as a centralized place to connect, to share screenshots, to do all the stuff you do, to get deals, to buy stuff on the store, this is an answer to that, I think, without a question.
It's the chat side of things that interests me, to be able to see who's playing what. If I load it up and I see Scott's playing StarCraft, I might then actually load up StarCraft, as opposed to me loading up WoW, open up a friends tab, seeing you playing StarCraft and being like, well, I've already loaded up WoW, so.
Sure.
Yeah. Or me seeing like, Terpster just got on, but I'm already in here. And No, exactly.
I better quickly go invisible. Terpster just got on. Exactly. Yeah, all of those sort of things, I think, would be interesting.
Well, here's the deal. You're never going to see a Blizzard game on Steam, so you may as well see all your Blizzard games, if you're into all of them, in some sort of central way, with some kind of central control. And this kind of does get back to their original promise, which was more of this interoperability between games, which they never quite delivered on. I remember Pardo talking a lot of hoop about that about, I don't know, 3 or 4 BlizzCons ago. And that just never really came to fruition. It was they had this idea that you'd see your buddies and you could all launch together into a session of something. And it was a lot of high talk, and then it just kind of never happened. I have a feeling that high talk evolved into what we're about to get with this, and it's just the normal Blizzard timeline. It just took forever. But I am very interested to see this. I hope it's lightweight. I hope it's not a big hog. I suspect it will be. And if it manages all your patches and, you know, just sort of does a better job of managing these three games as different as they may be. And Diablo and StarCraft are very similar in terms of launcher and, you know, speed at which they come up and things like that. But the WoW launcher is like a different animal. It's still like a lot of legacy 8-year-old stuff in there. And be nice to see a central way to control all that. And like Terpster said, this should be a lot more social, which I think will be key. So anyway, coming soon. I don't think we have a launch day for that, do we? No.
That's not enough.
Nothing yet. Yeah, here it is. Store forums, profiles, what else? Chat with BattleNet friends across everything. Replaces the launcher, blah, blah, blah. Oh, replaces the launcher for all the games. So you'll have a launcher with clients and updates happening in the background, repair tools and all that. And you just launch it from there. Log in from there. One login. Oh, that's kind of nice. Log in once, play all the games. Don't log in three times anymore. That'd be nice. And they got client avatars and all kinds of crap. So this should be interesting.
They should combine all of your achievements as well. So you have like one massive achievement score, you know, and things like that. I mean, you can really pull all these games together. And once you got like Hearthstone and all that kind of stuff and maybe new games.
Oh, yeah.
Then, you know, there's one place to do it. So
Hearthstone. I hadn't even considered the Hearthstone connection. That's a great sort of, everyone's going to have that. It'll be free. It's the great interface to do everything else. I think that's pretty cool. And they listed a bunch of client strings that were sort of data mined out of the client. And there's a couple of interesting ones in there. Let's see. View friends of friends commands are in there. You can look at people's mutual friends. So there's a command line in there for showing mutual friends or a piece of code that does that. That's kind of interesting. I don't know what kind of privacy stuff they'll have for settings and whatnot, but it would be kind of cool for me to go, oh, there's Terpster and Guy are friends. Sweet. I've been wanting to talk to Guy, but I don't have his stuff, so this is how I'll talk to him. Or this is how I can finally get him on my thing. I'm like, oh, shoot, I meant to add him as a real ID friend ages ago. Now I can finally make that happen. So,
More likely is you'll look at it and you'll be like, how come Guy's friends with Terpster? What's the deal there? I sent Guy a request and he said he didn't use Real ID and stuff. He's just not a thing. But apparently Terpster's is what?
Oh. Yeah. And why?
Drama.
Yeah. And who names a guy Guy? Like, what's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with a name like Guy? No, I'm just poking fun.
I'm gonna name my first kid Man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be like, you know what? Screw that. Screw the system. Your name is Man.
Man Gregory.
Even if it's a girl, I don't care.
I like that. You cannot block yourself is my favorite client string in here. So there you go. Those were dumb people. moving on. Diablo 3 on console, dated. So I'm sure we're going to hear a lot about this at E3, but unleash hell in your living room. Blizzard Entertainment, epic action RPG. Diablo 3 is coming to new consoles, or coming to a new platform, they say. And an experience reforged specifically for the console, players will adventure through rich and varied settings, engaging combat, blah, blah, blah. PS3. 360, September 3rd.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that couch co-op thing. I really want to sit down in front of a TV and see how that goes. Also, that kind of direct control over the character, you know, the movement just with the sticks, I think will be a real fun, different experience.
Yeah, I want to play it again that way. I really do.
Sure.
Yeah. I think it could be cool.
Yep.
It's going to be better for my fingers, you know, because so many mouse clicks and... I swear, my hand does get tired playing that game.
And it's
what
funny.
What would be interesting, though, is whether or not I'll be able to have my same characters. That's what I'd like,
that
I guess.
That would be really nice. I guarantee they won't. I will bet you right now they won't, but I wish they would.
They probably could, really? And it's probably the first-party console manufacturers saying, nope. Mm. We don't want you being able to play or use other, platforms on this version. I don't know.
It'd be a nice bonus for people who may buy both because of that. Like if you told a lot of Diablo 3 aficionados that, hey, guess what? Your character moves over. They would be more likely to buy a 360 or PS3 version of this game.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting, but I don't think they're going to do that. That seems crazy to me. I'll tell you what, though. This is your dream version, all you haters. No real money auction house and no online all the time. It's just Diablo 3 straight up. So just
sadly, the PC gamers didn't get the best version in that way.
Well, some of us PC gamers don't care about those features anymore because they've balanced that game better and it's great. And that new, I don't know if you heard that interview with the new game runner, but he basically flat out said, yeah, we're not happy with the auction house, and the game is we're continually making the game way less dependent on it. It's still a thing. We can't really yank it out, but it's not a factor like it was when we launched. And that's a big admission and also a good nod toward players who didn't love what that did to the balance of the game and what that did to sort of the loot system of the game. So I think that's good of them to do that. But, a console version without any of that hanging on it is probably a bit of a relief for them. They don't have to deal with it. They just go for it. And I don't know if these new consoles are going to require, we know the Xbox requires a connection at least every 24 hours to verify who you are. That's been confirmed. The Xbox One, I should say. PS4, no word on any stuff like that, but it will be interesting in the new, because we know, and we knew when he got, dude, when Chris got up in front of everybody at the Sony presser 2-3 months ago, you knew when he said PlayStation, coming to the PlayStation 3, you knew that meant Xbox 360 was getting one too. You just knew it was. It was just going to give Sony this nice little window. So I assume when they announced that for PS4 and PS3, that we would get this for 360 and Xbox One, and they are the only ones so far anyway with an online all the time kind of requirement. So we'll see how that all pans out. All right, moving on. One last little bit here. This week only, all your character transfers are 50% off. I'm happy to say my friend Scott Kurtz, creator of the comic strip PvP Online, decided to take advantage of this, and he moved his Panda Hunter over to Earthen Ring and is now part of AIE. So if you want to play with a legendary cartoonist, now's your chance.
I think it's all things as well. So you can do race change, faction change, appearance change, and name change.
All of it
is 50% off this week.
Yeah, this week only.
Strange that it's this week. I don't know what's special about this week, but then I guess why not?
Yeah.
Cool.
Unless your server has restrictions. Some of them do, or they don't let you move. But for the most part, this is a good time to take advantage of it. I don't know why they would do it now. There doesn't seem to be a real credible, I mean, there's no patch about to hit that takes advantage of people moving around, or I don't know why. Maybe they just do this randomly. I don't know. Who knows? It's easy to want to read into why they would
share the love, I guess.
Cut it all.
Maybe
in
not
half.
Enough people are doing it. Yeah. So they're trying to encourage people to do it.
All right. Well, share the love indeed. World of tweets. Greg Street answered a tweet during the week. What is design? That's our bumper for that.
That's my favorite bumper.
I think you should take that,
them.
Put a little bit of music under it, but take the actual, just the thing you just did.
Just going, world of put tweets.
Put a bunch of echo on that.
And, yeah, that's good.
That's all right. I like it.
I'll make an intern do it.
High production values.
Make an intern do it?
Yeah, I'll make an intern do it. We have a few that would do it.
And a cup of coffee while he's at it.
They're listening right now, and they'll probably run and do it, and then I'll have it within the hour. What is designed to be
the Hunter Talk thing while they're at it as well?
Can they do that, please?
That'd be great. Put a bunch of echo on that also.
They probably will.
Just echo on everything.
Doesn't that make it all better? It's my understanding.
Absolutely. That's my trick.
There's a thing that Brian Dunaway says all the time on the final score, which would not be nearly as good without what he does to that, and I'm trying to find it.
Oh, yeah. I love that one.
Here it is right here. Hold on. Let me play it for you here. I can't find it. Well, maybe I don't have it. Is this it?
You're no mess with Lo Wang.
That's not it. Oh, here it is.
That's got to be
Smack talk.
See, that's better because he's echoing there, right?
Yeah, echo.
Yeah.
Echo fixes everything.
Take that. Anyway, the tweet reads, what is designed to be the most effective, fastest way to level quests, instances, PvP, etc.? Greg fired back in response and said, ideally doing a variety of tasks, but we always want to make sure questing remains attractive. I think that's interesting because that's them saying questing is a few go. Okay. Go back to 2004 when Terpster was barely getting hair where there was no hair before. All right.
That's I have too much, Scott.
Right now, it's just coming out of every.
It's a curse.
Good times, T.
Out of every sleeve, out of his shorts, just his back. It's bad.
Ear hair,
nipples,
nose hair.
It's horrible.
His eyelashes have grown into his eyes. Anyway, back.
You just do something about
back that, when that came out. So I was in the middle of playing a lot of Dark Age of Camelot, and I had played Anarchy Online and a few other MMOs here and there, a little bit of EverQuest. And when WoW came out, nobody, and I mean, their big innovation was you could walk up to a dude and get a quest, and there was a story, and you could go accomplish it, and you go back to that dude, and you could do this with a friend, or you could do this alone. It was unheard of. In these other games, you just went and found a bunch of mobs and watched them respawn and kill them over and over again to level. That's literally what you did to get...
Grinding.
Everything was a grind in the previous incarnations of these games to one level or another. WoW introduced, and I know there's probably other stuff out there like, I don't know... Not RuneScape. I can't think of a game, but there's probably something out there that did, and maybe I didn't play it, but the point is it brought it to the mainstream and it said there is a way to do this and there are going to be tons of quests and you're going to feel like you're a part of this world and you're going to get cool rewards for doing them. This just didn't exist before WoW, and when WoW put this in, you were just like, holy shite, this is huge. Well, now it seems rote and normal and everyone does it, but I think it's good to hear Blizzard say, we still value that thing.
But they don't.
We innovated.
They say they do.
You don't think they do? I think they do.
No.
I do. No, okay. Expansions they do. All right.
Okay. Yeah. No. When you're going from 85 to 90, yes. Yes. Right. Questing is very, very helpful. But when you're going from 1 to 85 at this point, questing is a waste of time. It's something you do while you're queuing up for something else.
Yeah.
And if they really want you to be doing a variety of things, they need to give some sort of a bonus for the variety. So like maybe have some sort of a, you know, it's a diminishing returns when you just do the same thing over and over again or something.
Well, maybe like each time
you complete a quest chain or something like that, you get a bonus power to
Times two.
Or something like that.
Yeah, like
and
a so multiplier then if to the next
background
thing you do.
And stuff. Yeah. You know, to push you around to the different things, maybe.
Yeah.
So maybe, if in one session you did multiple things, you keep on multiplying the amount of XP you get from the next thing. That would be amazing.
Cool. I'd like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Or maybe like they've got like an obscured picture of Jaina Proudmoore.
Yeah.
And each time you complete a different activity, it reveals itself.
It's like Major League.
Exactly. And then
just keep peeling off a piece.
By the time you've done all of them, you see everything.
All right, but look, I agree with both of you, but all I'm getting at is if you're a brand new player, Dills, you're just playing the game for the first time. I don't mean making an alt, but if you're a brand new player coming to this game,
let me erase the last 6 years of my life.
Even at this stage of the game, all right, 9 years into this thing, and you're
showed me a dirty picture of Jaina Proudmoore.
Oh, perfect. Tom's good at that stuff. He's great.
He's good. He found it surprisingly fast, worryingly so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he actually found it at all. I think it's there.
It was just there.
I think he was already looking at it.
Yeah, he's just there on the sofa checking out Jaina.
Waiting for an opportunity.
that's pretty much why I do.
That's Tom Merritt for you. What was I going to say? Oh, if you start this game fresh, though, it does seem like a lot of care has been taken to give you something to do all the way up through 90 from 0 to 90 if you've never played it before. Like that's awesome stuff. Now, to make that more dynamic and interesting, the second time through, that's a problem. For sure.
Yeah.
But as an initial, like a dude who wants to make a character and start from zero and get all the way to the end, if that is your goal, that is still a big valuable package of questing.
No, it is. But so, you know, the question is what's designed to be the most effective, fastest way to level. And if you're talking about what's the fastest way to level right now, it is not questing. If you're trying to go from 1 to 85, it is not. It's queuing for you know, dungeons. Instances. Yeah,
right.
That's the fastest way. It's but queuing while you're for instances waiting, and then logging out for a while.
Right.
That's the fastest way to level.
That's a good point. So in essence, it kind of skirted the question then, because the question is, what is the fastest? If the question is effective / fastest way to level, the answer should be instances. It should be dungeons, is what you're saying.
Yeah, no, but Dills is right. It's logging out long enough to get rested XP to then when you log in. So it's actually, you know, pacing that content out, which kind of makes sense when you consider we pay a monthly subscription. You know, Blizzard wants you to play, but take a long time while playing it, ideally in short bursts here and there.
Well, but being media trained savvy folk that they are at Blizzard, an answer coming back going, imagine this tweet being asked that way and the answer coming back going, well, I think it's doing instances and then logging out for rested XP would be a terrible answer from their PR perspective.
Yes. Absolutely.
But I mean, you called it out.
the fact is that, you know, the true fastest way, if anybody wants to know, is to quest while you're queued for instances.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's it. Just do that all the way through. And the problem with that, though, is that you level faster than every zone you're in. So you are done with the current zone. All the quests become green, then gray. And then you have to go to the new zone before you've even maybe done the thing that leads you to what that new zone is. So if you're a new player and you're doing this type of leveling, you're so confused about what's going on and where to go.
So then you got to just get used to the AI. Well, so here's what I would recommend. Here we go. Here's the combination. I think we figured it out. You're right about that. So that's how you're leveling. You're doing it through dungeons and you're doing it through rested XP. Instead of running around zone to zone trying to get requisite quests to move to the next zone, you pet battle, baby. That's what you're doing. You're going zone to zone to do those pets. You can do that with or without questing. You can just say, all right, well, I've done all the level 6, or level 16 pets I can do in this zone. I'm moving to the next zone, do a few more pets. Oh, queue's up. All right, sweet. I'm in there. I'm raiding or I'm doing this dungeon. I'm out. A couple more pet battles. Well, I'm going to get off, get some rested XP. Those are your two ways. I mean, you're not going to get.
You can pick flowers along the way, too.
Sure.
And that gives you XP now. You can do archaeology. On the way, you could do all these little things that go along with it too.
It makes me want to go play my warlock this way.
That could work. I'll, you know what? I'm gonna pop on my panda Yeah. Pop on my panda.
Pop on your panda.
I'm gonna pop on my panda.
That's a condom, condom reference or something.
I'm gonna play a little pet battle. Pick flowers.
Yep. Always wear a condom, Terpster. That's the lesson. Are you wearing one now?
Always. You said always.
You never know what's floating around.
Yeah, man. Keep that on in Tom's house, all right?
Yeah, it's just that it's, you know, it messes up my my hairdo sort of thing. I wear it like a hat.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So it's good. Wrong. It's like a shower cap.
You're doing it wrong. It's supposed to go on your finger.
Oh, all right.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, and you got to do it three times fast while you're in the Merritt house. All right.
That's right.
What are we doing here? Let's move on to some town crier. We got some user feedback.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
Hey, what's this? It's Town Crier. This is where we take your emails and your phone calls, which you can call us in and leave, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But the whole thing's brought to you by DoghouseSystems.com, where you can still get double the memory using the code Henry. Or, so if RAM's not your thing and you just want some free t-shirts, you can use GURP over at /loot.com, and that Henry, or that, I'm sorry, use it at Doghouse Systems, but the word GURP, G-E-R-P, will get you $50 free money to spend at /loot.com on anything you want. An instant shirt, some other frog pants shirt, something totally different than that even. Whatever you want. Even the new Nerdtacular shirts are up there. So use GURP for $50 or Henry for double the RAM in your hot new Doghouse box. And a man, I love mine so much. I've been playing way too many games on it. This is the problem in this world of free-to-play and other excuses. I can just download anything I want. It's going to run great. I don't have to worry about it. You know, all this console talk is kind of falling on a bit of a deaf ear for me. I'm excited about it, but because I always have been, but my PC is like treating me so well, it's hard for me to.
Yeah,
care
but
as
you've
much.
Got to remember that, you know, the new consoles are, you know, mass market products made at a lower price point. They're never going to be as good as a more expensive PC.
Right.
And that's the beautiful thing, is that if you are lucky enough to have the money to buy a computer, you will get a better play experience visually and often, you know, other ways as well.
Yeah, they'll always innovate with connectivity and with
you're always
going to
find, I think so at least, that, you know, PCs are going to outperform consoles from here on out forever. It was only really back when PCs were obscenely expensive that consoles provided that sort of more cheap alternative.
Yeah, somebody said, I've always built my own PCs to be cheaper, but if I get a Doghouse, it's going to just put me out of work. And I said, well, what do you think they cost anymore? And I sent him some links, and he's like, oh, these are way cheaper than they used to be. I'm like, yeah, well, that's the day we live in. You can get into a really, really sweet box for, you know, maybe just over $1,000 that's pretty decked out and it's going to last you years and years and years.
Yeah, I used to like building computers and stuff, but there's honestly like no real benefit past the sort of hobby side of things.
Yeah.
And just having that support, that tech support, and knowing like if something goes wrong, I can phone someone up.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best thing.
Yeah, for 3 years, you don't have to worry about it. And that's nice because back when I was building them, they'd break all the time. And I enjoyed like Dill said, I enjoyed the kind of learning thing part of it, but I'm done with that. I don't want to do that anymore. Anyway, DoghouseSystems.com.
The one thing consoles have, though, is the fact that everybody has a big TV these days.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You're hooking it up to your giant, you know, flat screen TV.
Yeah.
Whereas if you buy like a little laptop, gaming laptop, you're still playing, unless you buy a monitor as well.
Yeah, or do like me and plug your gaming PC into my massive TV. Yeah. So that
there
works
you go.
Too.
Yeah.
That's actually the thing I'm most excited about for Nerdtacular when I come around your house, Scott, is to get back on and play some more D3 on your obscenely big TV that's about, I don't know, a foot away from your face when you're gaming. It's like playing at a cinema.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You'll like it too, because now there's a treadmill on the other side, so controller games, so you can stay fit and play a game. So, yeah,
really?
Yeah, it's all good. All right. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to that, actually. It'll be fun. Let's get to the these things. By the way, you can call us 801-471-0462, 801-471-0462. Leave us a message. Happy to play it on the show. Or you can email us, theinstance@gmail.com. Keep your emails and your calls shorter the better and interesting, and they're likely to be played. Here's a call about how about letting us play two characters at once.
Howdy, Instance crew. This is Steve, a level 33 IT professional from Melbourne, Australia server. I had a question about queuing and leveling at the same time. I've just finished a 90 priest, and basically I want to melt faces, so I just want to queue as DPS, but the queue times are like half an hour. So do you think it'll ever be possible for me to, say, be leveling another character and then queue as a different character so I could you know, be running around on my shaman, for example, and all of a sudden, ba-bom, it pops up, and I can jump in a DPS dungeon or LFR on my priest. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Thanks,
so,
guys.
So here's a guy who can drive and record at the same time.
This is good. And safely indicating. That's what you can hear in the background there. Signaling, just being a good, obviously hands-free.
Right.
So great stuff. But isn't this an amazing idea? Like when you go to queue, not only do you select the role, but you could have a drop-down of all your characters and select who you want to queue as.
Yep.
I think that's phenomenal. Yeah. I love it. Yep. I want that now.
There's some infrastructure in there. You can tell just by the idea that there would be some work for them. This isn't a quick
Australia
turnover.
Australia has infrastructure.
Well, no, I don't mean that. I mean for Blizzard to make
everything's
this.
Upside down. Yeah, they've got to flip it around. It's crazy.
It's the Queen's brilliant colony.
It's structure infra is what they have.
Yeah, structure
it's
infra. A little different. Right. Yeah. Get used to it. But the idea of Blizzard doing this I think this is a really good one. It just sounds to me like some hard old code twist. Like they're going to have to go back and revamp a bunch.
I don't know. I think, you know, they'd have to kind of introduce like the loading and logging character bit. But you do that anyway. When you enter an instance, it presents a loading screen. If anything, it seems like the most organic place to do it.
Yeah.
So when it loads up that instance, instead of pulling across the player data for the character you're currently logged in as, it pulls it across from whomever you've selected a queue as.
Right.
I love it so much. I think it's genius.
I think it's a queue interface issue, which is basically when you go to queue for an instance or whatever it might be, you get a selection of characters that are eligible for that particular thing. So when you just click the checkbox of my 90, geared out hunter for LFR, and then I queue my level 45 shaman healer and then whatever queue pops, it pulls it up and I say, oh yeah, go do that. And then I get logged into that character in that situation.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to me like it would be that complicated.
It seems like a boon for people with multiple alts. I mean, maybe there's a math problem where you're like, oh shoot. I mean, maybe they could only do two at a time, because if you're queuing all, let's say, seven of your alts.
Yeah, they could have a limit on this. Sure.
They'd have to probably, because what you're basically doing is making people wait in line for nothing because you're outrunning the actual content that popped for you. And now they're, now you're in another queue, but that, I don't know how that works now, actually, is like, how are they pushing you back until you're done with your scenario to actually put you in LFR or whatever, which pops the minute you get out of that scenario. I don't know. I'm sure there's some complicated stuff there that we're not thinking of.
But think about this, though. How many more people would be queuing for things, and the queues may just become much faster?
It'd be huge. I love this
idea. Because everybody would be queuing for multiple
things. You guys send us your ideas all the time. This is one of my favorites. So
yeah, I like it a lot.
Keep it coming, Australia.
Let's do that, and let's do the XP multiplier for doing multiple things, Blizzard.
Terpster, do you guys still discriminate against the Australians as the prison colony it once was? Or what's the feeling over there? British Isles.
Well,
they're so nice now.
Yeah, I guess.
They don't want to kill you and
it's
steal
weird.
From you.
Someone put a picture up the other day about, overcrowding in British prisons.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It was just a picture of Sydney. And it was, it was good. But I don't know. I think we're just really quite envious of them. They've got a fantastic economy.
Yeah.
They've got great weather. I mean, admittedly, a lot of things there want to kill you.
Yeah.
But again, that's why we put the prisoners there.
Right.
Funny is you guys sent the prisoners off to this place, this other island that's got much better weather than where you guys were. You're like, no, we'll keep the gray kind of
with the malaise.
We'll send you guys off to a paradise.
But then again,
here.
Obviously, from that heritage, much better set up for running businesses.
Right.
Not saying they're all crooks and corrupt, but potentially. And that's why they're doing so well.
Love it. Love it. This is my favorite thing we've talked about today. All right.
I really want to go.
Just a little bit of xenophobia.
Yeah, why not?
By the instance.
Let's jump straight into this here.
Sound like Garrosh.
You do a little bit.
The drop of the week.
All right, drop of the week this week. Let's talk about it. Online disinhibition and psychology of trolling. That sounds like a mouthful, but found this article and a bunch of people shared it with us during the week. And I had seen it through my sister, actually, who's a therapist and deals with this stuff all the time. Here's a quote that'll give you an idea what this article is about. In the real world, people subconsciously monitor the behavior of others around them and adapt their own behavior accordingly. Online, we do not have such feedback mechanisms. It's according to internet psychologist Graham Jones. Sounds European to me.
Graham, yeah.
Graham Jones. It sounds like two of the pythons were mixed together. I found this article. It's on wired.co.uk. It's a really, really interesting article about online aggression and trolling in general. And it's, I think, prescient to the whole WoW discussion. Totally worth reading. Very interesting stuff. It's a great academic look at why we troll and why we would never, like, why one guy would troll you like crazy on the internet and that same guy in your living room on a Saturday night would never even try it. Never even come close to it. And I know it seems obvious. Well, he's anonymous and across the world or something, and your house is in your house. Yes, but they really drill down as to why it's so rampant online and why it's such a problem.
Do you think, though, that to a certain extent, trolling has become a real life thing? Because I kind of feel like there's certain situations now where people do just kind of troll each other in real life because it's become kind of a behavior, like a learned behavior.
I think it's... I don't have any data.
Saying something to challenge somebody or saying something just to spark an argument.
I just think there's always been a-holes.
Maybe it doesn't happen to you, but...
I think there's just always been a-holes. I don't know if there's any data to back up an increase in that sort of stuff, but I probably would argue, if I had to put some money on it, I'd say that we have a generation of kids who have grown up trolling each other online, on phones and that sort of thing, that are perhaps more predisposed to letting that leak into their real lives, and they don't have those sort of social norms that we have as barriers. So that, I think that's probably true. But I think it probably...
It's circumstantial, obviously, but I don't know. I just kind of feel like there's more real-life trolling going on these days than there has been previously, in my life, anyway.
Well, that's because you're a Giants fan. What do you expect? This is what happens.
Yeah, we get trolled by Dodger fans all the time, constantly.
Right.
But
I mean, if you look at like sports as the ultimate example, probably, of real life trolling, where people are fine to lean out of a car and see the colors of the opposing team and call that person something terrible. Certainly, that's true in Britain with your football / soccer and the whatnot.
Mm-hmm. You know, we just call it football.
You're all ready
There's to no slash in it.
You're all ready to kill each other over there. Soccer and the whatnot.
Some people do.
I don't know.
Play the match.
I think it's fascinating stuff, and I think this article is an important read.
Worth checking out.
Yeah, so read it. We'll link it in the show notes as well. Did I hear Tom make a noise? Did he make a noise?
Yeah, we got to get going.
Yeah, we're gonna close this out. Let me tell you guys something. You can leave us iTunes reviews. We love those. Please do that. That'd be really nice for you. I want to thank Deathwing Tog Minsko. Deathwing took my shoe. Nice laid-back Swedish 10-man raiding guild on Azun EU. If you're looking to join those guys.
I've got a priest on a Zoom.
Do you really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, dtms.nu is where you can join their cool guild. Also, use the code INSTANCE for 5% off at gametimezone.com. As always, all right, let's get out of here. Terpster's at E3 all week. Watch his Twitter feed for cool stuff, photos, all that kind of crap, I'm sure. We're going to see something from you. And you guys are doing a bunch of video, I'm sure, for Yogs and all that.
Yeah, there'll be lots of stuff going on.
I'm excited about all of that. Dills, anything you want to spill before we let everybody go?
Well, no, TorchCast, MGA, LitCast, check them all out.
All right.
You can find them.
And, of course, Willie Dills on freaking Twitter.
On the old Twitter, yeah.
I want to thank everybody for helping the show out today, especially Matthew Oxley for our theme music, Paul Swickard, who does our show notes and internship here in the show, forum show notes, archives, and more at theinstance.net. We're on Twitter at Instance Show, me at Scott Johnson, Willie Dills for Dills, and the_T for Terpster. At Facebook, we're at /TheInstance. You can find more great shows like this at frogpants.com. And don't forget, we're going to stream the proceedings, most of it anyway, at Nerdtacular 2013. That is 1 month from now. Join us for that, nerdtacular.com for details, or follow us on Twitter. You'll find out about all that stuff. That's going to do it for us. Huge thanks to Tom Merritt for letting us crash his place today.
Yeah, Tom Merritt.
Pretty awesome. Woo. Yay for Tom Merritt. Mm-hmm. We'll see you guys next time.
Send me that picture of Jana, please.
Please, yeah, we can get the Jana picture. It'd be great.
It's good. It's a good picture.
We'll see you guys next week for a brand new episode of The Instance. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Leader furious at intellectual property abuse. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Garage Hellscream and intellectual are two things that one does not ordinarily associate with each other. Today, however, the War Chief launched a new initiative to combat the abuse of copyrights and patents. Speaking from the Thorn Garden outside Gromash Hold, Hellscream railed against patent trolls and the ridiculous, overly broad claims they are using to threaten lawsuits against ordinary citizens. "They are a disgrace to the Horde," he bellowed. "They are weak and cowardly, and I shall crush them in the Putney Rebellion they have started." It would appear that Hellscream was not talking about waging war on patent trolls, but on trolls in general. I guess I need to have a talk with our Pandaren cub reporter on accuracy in news gathering. He was probably off in the tavern drinking with Gammon instead of at the news conference. It's too bad, though. I suspect I'm not the only one who would have enjoyed watching the War Chief invalidate those patents with extreme prejudice. And if it turns out he needs a new job in the near future, here's hoping the Electronic Frontier Foundation considers adding him to their staff. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind. All right, settle down, everyone. We should get started.
I'm still not clear what it is we are doing.
Miss Muldrow, we discussed this. Since we all do regular helpful segments for the instance, who better to prepare people for Nerdtacular?
Right! Someone has informed the people about how to get ready. Where to go, what to do.
Yes, yes, and someone has to sing the theme song!
Theme song?
What theme song?
The NTX III Think You're Swell theme song.
No, 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 there's no theme song. If there was a theme song, don't you think Scott would want to write it himself?
Of course not. He just put a
Family friendly, family friendly!
What is all this about songs? I thought we were going to talk about hunters.
Why would we talk about hunters?
Duh. Nerdtacular is only the biggest World of Warcraft hunter convention on the planet.
It's the biggest what?
Hunter convention. Look, once a year, all the hunters across Azeroth gather in Salt Lake City and...
Hunts, you never said we were doing a hunter segment.
What? Hunters? No. We're supposed to be making a...
Look, if that's what we're doing, then I think I should go first and tell people which battle pets to bring to Nerdtacular.
Oh, no, you don't. People need to be informed about which Nerdtacular mods they should be using. You know, like the one that shows you your t-shirt catching buffs.
If you want my advice...
Yeah, yeah, Gnome Custard, we get it.
No, you're all making a big mistake.
They sure are. The theme song should come first. Let me play you a few bars. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hey, there's no singing at a hunter convention.
For the last time, it's not a hunter convention.
You take that back.
Oh yeah? Well, you are a certifiable nut bar with size 13 feet.
Ow! Why, you...
This is not appropriate.
Ow. Battle pets, get him! I think he's more of a
In today's news, a very spirited discussion broke out in the offices of Frog Pants Studios, where some of the Horde's most impatient members gathered to mark the start of the Nerdtacular 2013 celebrations in Salt Lake City. The contributors to the Instance podcast segments are... Ow! Quit pushing! That is it! War stomp! The contributors would like to remind everyone to bring your favorite mods, choose your battle pets wisely, something something about hunters, Gnome Custard, and... sing the theme song.
Everyone, will the frog pants be unbuttoned by and by, Scott, by and by?
For Aludra, Johnny Feisty, Kephis, Miss Mulgra, Revan Geek, and the rest of the user contributor community, I'm Hunts the Wind.
In the sky, and again, will the frog pants be unbuttoned by and by, Scott, by and by? There's a big
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 10 of Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the World of Warcraft. My name is Metal Chrissy, and I'm co-host with Cohemulum. In this segment, I will discuss one of the new brews from the Mists of Pandaria expansion. While I was doing my dailies in the Valley of Four Winds and finishing up my crops for the day, I cashed in a few items at the vendor on Half Hill. I noticed the different new brews and thought that the Asian plum wine sounded delicious. In fact, to my surprise, this happens to be a particularly sweet type of wine. The Asian plum wine is a great choice for those who enjoy a sweeter tasting brew. Plum wine, categorized as a fruit wine, is most popular in Japan, Korea, and China. Fruit wines are referred to the main ingredient, in this case plum, as the typical definition of wine states it is made by fermenting grapes. Plum wine is actually a liquor, as by definition wine is made from single fermentation. Asian plum wine is made by soaking unripe plums in sugar and soju, which is another type of Asian alcohol. Since grapes are one of the few fruits that provides an ample serving of sugar, tannins, acids, and salts for the yeast feeding process, makers frequently need to add additional sugar or honey to provide a more palatable taste. Connoisseurs of wine typically suggest that fruit wines, such as the Asian plum wine, be consumed within a year, as their taste does not improve with age. This concludes episode 10 of Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the World of Warcraft. Follow us on Twitter at Ferment Azeroth, or visit the site at fermentingazeroth.com.
Hey everybody, it's Amy Jade. And for many years, demonic imps were always associated with warlocks who were bent on destruction. However, this is no longer the case. Because at level 32, demonology warlocks get the passive ability called Wild Imps, where their Shadow Bolts, Soulfire, or Touch of Chaos spells give them a chance to proc an imp once every 20 seconds that will cast 10 firebolts at their current target, helping the warlock to generate their much-loved resource, Demonic Fury. And, to further enhance their playstyle even more, demonology warlocks can also choose the major glyph called Imp Swarm. By choosing this glyph, a demonologist can instantly call forth to command 5 wild imps to attack their target, bringing extra damage while building and generating their Demonic Fury resource rather quickly. And when Imp Swarm is utilized every time it comes off of cooldown, it can provide sustained DPS. But when it's timed right, it plays a major role for burn phases. And as my friend El Jeppy says it, it's simply Impmageddon. Trust me when I say that in the heat of battle, there's nothing more fun than to look your enemy in the eye and say, "Say hello to my little friends," and then unleash Imp Swarm. It's true, one imp is fun, but 5 imps, well, that's just funner. Now, if you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to come find me at warlockery.com.
Oh, Luger the Mage here, catching the pets and sharing the info. We are continuing our tour of Raiding with Leashes 2 with the Eye out in Netherstorm. Yep, the Eye. All the way out in Netherstorm! Luckily, we pretty much all have flying mounts now. Another raid with a mount drop, we're actually going to focus on the guys typically skipped in this place. Yeah, remember them? Just in case you don't, Alar, the mount we are all after's namesake and the first boss of the place, can drop the Phoenix Hawk Hatchling. Unfortunately, this little dragonkin isn't Alar in miniature. Aww. The loot, I mean Void Reaver, has a chance of dropping the ever-cute mechanical Pocket Reaver. And the final boss we're hunting down is the High Astromancer, Solarian. She drops the Lesser Void Caller, an adorable magic pet that can help all you warlocks out there coordinate your follower pet with your whole warlocky look. And just like that, we are one step closer to getting our achievement. Good luck out there, guys, and happy hunting! If you like this segment, or you want to tell me how awesome I am, you can visit the website at aludraspets.com. And for more Battle Pet information, head on over to battlepet.net.
Welcome to Science of Warcraft. This week, lava. It is one of the most powerful materials on Earth and in Azeroth. Magma is suspected to be the core of the planet. When summoned by Shaman, it can deal huge destruction to its target. Lava is primarily molten rock, but the type of rock and metals within can determine its temperature. On the lower end of the scale, felsic lava is made up of quite a few different materials, including silica, aluminum, and calcium. Temperatures for felsic lava generally stay between 1200 and 1400 degrees Fahrenheit. On the other end of the spectrum, basaltic lava has high levels of iron and magnesium. This makes it so then its temperatures can reach upwards of 1700 degrees Fahrenheit. The power of a shaman's lava spells is based around their ability to summon different earth materials. Summon the right ones, and you'll destroy all villains around you. Thanks for listening. Always remember that the world has much more depth than you realize. Please send any comments or suggestions to scienceofwarcraft@gmail.com.
Epic diapers.
Oof, I'm glad I'm done with Jade Force. I'm tired of being called a duker anyway. Alright, here. Says on the map that the next zone is called Valley of the Four Winds. Alright, well, looks like there's a Pandaren down there. Hi there.
Welcome to the Valley of the Four Winds, strange talking cow.
Okay, so where does the name come from?
Legend has it that the winds in this area drive in the clouds from the ocean, watering our fertile fields in the valley. We are the breadbasket of Pandaria, you know?
Are you sure the name wasn't coined, I don't know, for something else?
No, why would you say that? We are proud farmers with plenty of food that we harvest and sell. In fact, traveler, would you be interested in purchasing from a selection of our finest beans?
Huh? No, I just ate. I'm good, thanks.
Okay, then. Perhaps you would fancy some of our fresh, crispy asparagus.
No, really, I'm good. I'm just looking for some quests here.
Surely, you would like to indulge in some lentils?
No.
Brussels sprouts?
No.
Cauliflower?
No.
Broccoli? Cabbage? Yak milk?
No, really, I'm not hungry. In fact, I think I'm going to be sick. I need to get out of here.
Follow me at Epic Diapers and check out epicdiapers.com.
And remember, it's hard to balance the pew-pew with the poo-poo.
Welcome, students, to Monk Meditation, a time to learn and reflect on aspects of the monk class. This week's lesson, Rune of Reorigination. I was lucky enough to have this trinket from Lei Shen drop for me last week. This trinket will alter a Windwalker's gameplay and has the potential for huge gains. When the trinket procs, it calculates all of your secondary stats, mastery, crit, and haste, and will double the total value and apply it all to the highest of those stats. What this means for Windwalkers is that mastery is a priority stat. However, you want mastery to only be just above haste and crit. When the trinket procs, you'll have 10 seconds to build up chi and energy. As the proc is about to expire, use your Tiger Eye Brew. This will give you 15 seconds of extremely high damage. Thank you for listening to Monk Meditation. Catch me in-game as Chai T, C-H-A-I-T-H-I, on Areopeak or Argent Dawn, or on Twitter at WowMonk.
This week's achievement is the few, the proud, the Gob Squad. The goal here is to complete the Secrets of Rage Fire scenario without any member of the Gob Squad taking damage. Keep in mind, this scenario needs to be completed 100% to get this achievement. So starting from the beginning to the end, you and your group need to make sure that all the aggro goes to you, not to these little goblins. Let them do their work, they're kind of busy. It's a big deal what they're doing. Use your AoE, get your tank to put on his taunts. If you're all range, good luck, use some traps. But it is kind of funny. It's going to be one of those situations where you're probably going to have a hard time getting aggro. Or you might be fighting it from each other. So maybe plan ahead. You know, there are a couple phases to this, so maybe each take a phase. You know, bring the aggro to one guy. You do this correctly, you'll get your 10 points and the few, the proud, the Gob Squad.
Revan Geek and Noggin Fogger Elixir present Real as Rothian Heroes.
Real as Rothian Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pet Battle Leveler.
Mr. Pet Battle Leveler.
Blizzard is always looking for ways to allow for lots of kinds of play, and that's allowed you to let your pets do the work.
Just like a hunter.
Stockpiling bandages and treats and washing materials, you go from fight to fight, tamer to tamer, zone to zone, building up your pets and your own level.
The Eye of the Tiger!
After catching them all and finding yourself max leveled, you decide to do some dungeons and realize that you're still in vanilla hand-me-downs.
It
must have shrunk in the dryer.
So crack open an ice cold noggin fogger elixir. You quest ignoring, dungeons are boring, my Onyxia whelp is soaring. Wee little gladiator, at least every drop will be an upgrade.
Mr. Pet Battle Leveler.
Follow me on Twitter at RevanGeek. Hear old episodes at RevanGeek.blogspot.com and subscribe to Revan Geek's Parody Palace on iTunes.
Ramkar, and welcome to Ask Miss Melgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, what is the best way to teach my little orc some manners? Lately, he has been stockpiling all his war toys and not sharing. All of his little friends have been rebelling and telling him how unfair he is treating them. I'm afraid they are right, and that I might have to turn him over my knee. Except that his shoulder armor is too pointy and pokes into my leg. Do you have any suggestions? Sincerely, Mrs. Hellscream. Well, I did not think that I would ever be at a loss for words. But, oh, why start now? You should turn him over your knee and give him a paddling to remember with a good sturdy stick to teach him a lesson. Of course, if you are more into positive reinforcement, you could offer him a nice gnome popsicle if he promises to stop behaving like such a brat. I am Miss Mulgra, and that is my advice. Akamagosh!
Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there!